Sense is to get up. You need to get up and make a decision that I want to change. I want to have a deeper relationship with God. It's like when you first accepted Christ. It's a decision, isn't it? I want to become a Christian. So you get up, you make that prayer and commitment. So that's the beginning of the journey. 120 is you get up, and then we studied 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains or the hills. Where does my help come from? And I'm sure you still remember the title of the sermon was Look Up. So actually, when I prepare the title for Psalm 123, at first I also used the title Look Up. And then later on I realized that I used that for 121 already. So I changed my title. But actually, there's some similarity here. Psalm 121, look up, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. So 120, you get up, you start the journey. You're walking towards Jerusalem. And the first thing you see in the journey is all these mountains, hills, obstacles, difficulties, hindrance to our spiritual growth. So the psalmist in Psalm 121, the second psalm of Psalms of Ascent, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? He saw all the obstacles in front of him as he walked towards Jerusalem. In our spiritual journey, when we want to get closer to God, we see all kinds of difficulties, challenges, mountains in front of us. So we look up. Where does our help come from? We see the mountains. And last time, we looked at 122. I'm not sure I got 122 here. Yeah, I did. And then as the psalmist walked towards Jerusalem, our feet are standing in your gaze, Jerusalem. He arrived at Jerusalem. So today's 123 is when he entered into the presence of God. 123. To you, verse 1, I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Throne is the where the king sits, in case some of you don't know that word in English. Throne is where the king, the queen sits. I lift up my eyes, same as 121. In 121, the psalmist lift up the eyes and see all the mountains, all the challenges, problems, difficulties. And very often, our spiritual life is at that stage. When we look up, we see only problems. When we come to church, we see nothing but problems. Our life is full of problems. Our study is a lot of challenges. Our work, our career is not going anywhere. So when we look up, we see problems. So I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? But as our spiritual journey continues to 123, and the psalmist enter into the house of the Lord, enter into Jerusalem, and he lifted up my eyes, he saw God himself enthroned in the heavens. Very often we see a lot of problems in our life. When we pray, we always pray about our problems, isn't it? And actually, we are a bit guilty of that. So last week's prayer meeting, we have a lot of people. So we prepare 4 pages of prayer items. We list out all our needs, our challenges one by one. So it's a lot. So some people actually stay there for 2 hours to go through the list. And I was in that group to stay there. So we go through the challenges in this and that and that. And spend a lot of time praying for the problems. But psalmist here, so as I prepare this message, the psalmist is reminding us, don't look at just the mountains and the hills, the problems. Look at God himself. The more we look at the problems, the more problems we have. The way to solve the problems in the church is not look at all the problems, but look at God himself. The solution to our life challenges is not to keep looking at our problems in life, but look at God himself, like the psalmist. When we look at ourselves, we see all our shortcomings. If we keep looking at our shortcomings, we are never going to grow up, be strong, be successful. We look at our strength. Look at what God has given to us. I am not much a skier, but if you're skiing down the hill, trying to avoid hitting a tree is sometimes not easy, right? So someone asked one of the famous skier from the U.S., Kim Richardson. She was in the U.S. ski team when she was 15. She's obviously way beyond any most of us in terms of skiing skills. So someone asked, when you're skiing down the hill so fast, how do you avoid running into the trees? So her answer is, so don't look at the trees. When you're skiing down the hill so fast, don't look at the trees. Look at the space between the trees. So she said, don't stare at what you don't want to hit. So if you're skiing down, you keep trying to, I'm going to avoid this tree, I'm going to avoid that tree. You're going to end up hitting one of the trees, right? But look at the space. Ignore the trees. Don't look at the problems. Look at God himself. This is what the psalmist here is trying to say to us. As he walks towards God, going up this spiritual journey. Psalm 121, he looked at all the mountains. And he was worried. He was scared. But as he entered into the presence of the Lord in 123, and he saw God himself enthroned in heaven. When you look at God, you don't see the problem. But when you look at the problem, you don't see God. So do not be despair. And very often, when the hockey team lose a game, like our Canucks, the coach always say that that's behind us now. We're not going to look at the game we lost tonight. We're going to look at the next game. The next game will be a new game. We're going to win in the next game. We have to be like that. If we keep looking at the game we lost tonight, last night, last year, we'll always be in despair. Look at God himself. So the psalmist, as he walked up to Jerusalem, he entered into the presence of the Lord, and he sees God himself. He is on the throne. Verse 1 says, on the throne. He is in control. He is the king. He is up there, is looking down upon us. When we are in despair, our circumstances may be challenging for us. We don't know how to solve this. And a lot of the problem in the church, actually, to be honest, I don't know how to solve. People coming to me all the time with this kind of problem, that kind of problem. That's my job, is to solve problems. But some of the problems, I don't know how to solve. But I know that God is in control. This is not my church. It's not even your church. It's God's church. We are all here to serve God. This is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. God is enthroned in heaven. He is in control. He is more powerful than the principalities, the kings, the prime ministers on earth. And sometimes we look at our circumstances, look at the world, and we got despair. Will North Korea send a missile over here, you know, and drop on us on the way to Seattle, to U.S., going for us? Sometimes we worry. We do. Sometimes we do have to. But who is in control here? When we look at the hills, look at the Rocky Mountains, and I'm sure a lot of us have passed by the Rocky Mountains when we go to Alberta. These are really grand, high, tall, big, giant, big, huge mountains. When we look at the mountains, we get worried. When we look at the problems, what are we going to do? But when you look at the mountains from the Google map, it's just very small. It's nothing. Right? Don't get worried. And when you look at from outer space, it's nothing. All these Rocky Mountains is really nothing. So when the psalmist, he looked at the Look at God sitting on the throne. He's way above and is more powerful than any king on this earth, any government. So all our circumstances is all in God's hand, and he will protect us. So at the beginning, the psalmist sees the power of God, and God himself is the solution to our problems. We don't look at the problems, we look at God. And also, he sees the humility of his servant. Behold, as the eyes of servant, or slaves, some translation, the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of a mistress. So the psalmist sees that he himself is just a servant, just a slave, standing quietly looking at the hand of the master. The hand of the master, the master will tell the servant what to do. He just has to wait patiently. He just has to look upon the mercy of the master. And the servant only have to rely on the master. We don't know why a lot of these things happen around us. Why this 15-year-old young teenager got shot, got killed by the crossfire between all these drug gangs. He has nothing to do with this. Why did this happen? He goes to church and probably a good Christian. We don't know. But why did this happen to them? We don't know. We don't have the answers. But we know that God knows. And we have to trust God. And he is way above. We're just a servant. We don't know God's will. So as a servant, we wait for God's directions. We try to follow God's will. Why this happened? Just like 50 years ago, we know that churches are being closed down in China. And I was young at that time, as a teenager. And at that time, 30, 40 years ago, all the churches in the world prayed for China. People trying to smuggle Bibles into China. All the Bibles are burned. Churches are closed down. We don't know why this happened at the time. All the churches in the world all pray about China. But now when we look back, we know there's a reason for it. Now the church in China is stronger than ever before. And God has his timing. We have to wait patiently, as he says in the psalm here. Verse 3, we have to wait patiently for God's mercy and glory. We do not know why this happened. But we are not the master. It's the master who decides when and what has to be done. If God allows us to face some difficulties as a church in this country, there's a reason for this. I believe there's a reason for this. I think it's a wake-up call for all the churches. I'm not sure it's because partly because of this, so many people came to the prayer meeting last week. I don't know. But as a servant, he has to wait for the direction of the master. He is not the master. It's not what we want. When we face challenges, difficulties in our life, we have to ask what God wants us to do. It's what Jesus would do. So some of the older people, we know that in the older days, we like to wear a bracelet, WWJD. What does that mean? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And in the earlier years of my Christian life, a lot of people would like to wear a button on this, on our bracelet. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? We are just a servant. We are just waiting for the master. The closer we get to God, then the more humble we are. And because as we get closer to God, we know how little we are. As we get closer to God, then we know how powerful he is. And we are just a dust. And the closer we are to God, like the psalmist, in Psalm 121, he sees all the big mountains. He asks God for protection. But as he walks closer and closer to God, in 123, he sends this humility and in this psalmist. He asks for God's grace. God is not only powerful, it's on the throne in the heaven, but this is also the hand of mercy, hand of grace. Until he is gracious to us, the psalmist asks. He asks three times, until he is gracious, show mercy to us. Be gracious to us, O Lord, be gracious to us. He sees that nothing he can do apart from the master. He's only a servant. He came to God and asked for mercy. Grace is when God gives us grace. Someone said, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. So grace, mercy forgave the thief on the cross. Grace escorted him to paradise. God is gracious to us. God gives us eternal life. God is also shows mercy to us. He forgives our sins. So our God is a God of love, a God of mercy. And we pray to him. God's hand not only provides, it's a hand of mercy. Here the servant sees the hand of the master. We see the hand of God, the hand of mercy. God's hand provides our needs. God's hand protects us. God's hand guides us, leads us. God's hand sometimes disciplines us. But above all, God's hand is the hand of mercy, because it is a pierced hand. He died on the cross for us. So from that we know that he loved us. He's willing to give his life for us, to die and suffer on the cross for us. So what else would he withhold from us? So when we pray to God, when we come to God, like the psalmist, you see the power of God, he's way above. But he also see that this is a God of love. So that's why he humbled himself like a slave and bowed down before God and seek for his mercy. So today, we need to come to God. We have problems. I'm sure we all have different kind of problems, not just from our government. We have other problems in our life, maybe a relationship, family problems. But don't look at the problems, but look at God. And God is more powerful than us. He is the master. Look for his will. But what's more important, that God's hand is a hand of mercy. So we beg for his mercy. We wait. We wait for his mercy. We wait patiently. And we humble ourselves. As we see from these first few psalms, of the psalms of ascent, as the psalmist getting closer and closer to God, he's become more humble. He did not ask God to send fire to kill all his enemies, to destroy all his enemies. He did not ask that. If you read carefully in Psalm 123, he did not once ask God, remove all these enemies, remove this, remove that person from me, from my surroundings. He did not. He just asked for God's mercy be upon him. So today, we come and pray to God. Don't look at just the mountains, but look at God himself. When the church look at the problems, we will have more problems. But when the church look at God, we will have a strong and healthy church. Same for your life. Don't look at just all the problems that you're facing, but look at God himself. God will guide you with his hand of mercy. My last slide. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. But if you try to control things in your hand, you try to solve the problems in your life by yourself, try to solve problems in the church with our own skill, our own planning, then we don't give God a chance to work in our midst.